Well, good morning again, Wenty Anglican. It's time to read the Bible together, and I'm here with Bethany, a student from Port Macquarie. Bethany is a second-year graphic design student. She's the one who designed the excellent banner behind me. She regularly goes to Port Macquarie Presbyterian Church and makes excellent coffee. Bethany, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Church. Thanks, Steve, for letting me come on board and reading the Bible with you.
Oh, pleasure. Now, what are the Bible readings today?
Oh, right. So the first Bible reading is from Psalm 104, and we're reading verses 1 to 35. But there's also a second Bible reading, and that Bible reading is from Romans 8, 18 to 27. And I'll give us plenty of time to find that in our Bibles when we come to it.
Great. Well, let me pray as we come to hear God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. The first reading, as I said before, is from Psalm 104, verses 1 to 35. And I'll just give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 35. And I'll be reading from the NIV 11 this morning. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers and flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. He covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains and they went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens humans' hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, and the stork has its home in the junips. The high mountains belong to the wild goats, the crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both small and large. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you, to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, verse 18 to 27. I'll give you a moment also just to flip to that. Romans 8, 18 to 27. This passage is entitled Present Suffering and Future Glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a pleasure to join you in worshiping our great and marvelous God today. As I'm sure you're aware by this point, my name is Steve. I'm the AFES staff worker in Port Macquarie with a Christian student group called Port Mac Christian Students. Thank you so much, Pastor David, for the invitation to speak to your church today. Now, hopefully you've all seen the chat that Lauren and I recorded with David earlier in the week. Please do keep praying for us and for the students of Port Macquarie that they would know Jesus as their master and their saviour. In a couple of weeks' time, my students and I are going to be getting together in person to spend some time together in God's Word. We're pretty excited about it, actually, especially because the second half of the year is going to be continuing mostly online. So as we get together, we're going to work through the big story of the Bible and consider our place in the story of what God is doing in the world. So this morning, I'd like to share with you some of the material I'm preparing for my students. A slightly longer version of this talk will come at the end of our first day together. In the morning, we'll have read Genesis 1 to 3. We'll have thought about the glory of God in creation and reflected on the sinful mess we've made. And in this talk, my hope is to summarize those discussions by looking briefly at Psalm 104, which is an amazing meditation on the glory of God in creation. Then we'll move on to Romans 8 to consider the mess that sin makes of everything and how we groan as we try to resist sin while living in a sin-ruined world. Then finally, I want to consider the hope we have. For we do not groan without hope. No, our hope is a new creation, when we and all things will be liberated from bondage to decay, when our identity as children of God will be fully revealed before the entire universe, when we will come into the glorious freedom of adoption as God's children, when our bodies will be redeemed and our sins will be wiped away and remembered no more, all because of Jesus. Please turn to Psalm 104 in your Bible. And as you do that, let me pray. Gracious Father, as we meditate upon your word, your world, and your Son, please deepen our trust in you. Please give us a sure and certain hope of a new creation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We live in an amazing world. I don't know how often you think about that. I know I don't think about it enough. Psalm 104 is a reflection upon the amazing world made by God. For the sake of time, I'm going to summarize rather than show you every verse. So Psalm 104 is like a tourism video where you're flying over the landscape in a helicopter. We swoop over immovable mountains, down valleys, up ravines, and everywhere we look, water. Water raging down the mountains. Water bursting over cliffs in giant waterfalls. Pure, fresh water that brings life to all things. Water falling from the sky that brings life to animals, plants, and people. Everything is satisfied as the Lord waters the mountains. You may even be able to hear in the background behind me, there's water falling from the sky right now. From the sweeping plains, the psalmist draws our attention upward. First the crops, then the trees, then the mountains, and finally the moon and sun above. But on his way, he pauses on the mountains to consider two creatures, wild goats and the hyrax. What on earth is a hyrax? I had no idea, so I looked them up, and I was amazed by this creature made by God. I'd never seen it before. I'd like to share a little with you of what I learned about the hyrax this week. Hopefully you're now seeing a video. I found this on YouTube. It's from Alamer57. This is a hyrax. A hyrax is sometimes called a conny or a dassy. It's a small furry animal about the size of a house cat. Looks a bit like a muscly guinea pig or maybe a meerkat. Hyrax are found across Africa and the Middle East. They live in rocky areas, sometimes on sheer cliff faces. Because they feel the cold, hyrax like to sunbathe. They also like to sleep in heaps inside their dens to share body warmth. And to be honest, I can't think of anything cuter. Although they resemble guinea pigs, hyrax are not rodents. They're actually closer to elephants. One way we see that is their tusks. Most animals with tusks grow them from their canine teeth, which is the pointy ones. But the hyrax is like an elephant. It grows tusks from its incisors, its front teeth. Hyrax are social creatures that live in colonies of up to 80. They forage for food as a group and, like meerkats, will post sentries to warn of danger. They have three stomach chambers which are filled with symbiotic bacteria, and this helps them break down the cellulose from the plants they eat. Baby hyrax aren't born with these bacteria, so they eat the poo of adult hyrax to gain the bacteria they need to help them properly digest the plants. Hyrax have black, rubbery feet with lots of sweat glands. They work a little bit like a suction cup. It helps them grip rocks. But they also climb trees to eat the leaves. And they have strange and complex songs. Most of the sounds you're hearing in this video are the sounds of hyrax. They have more than 21 different vocal sounds, and they combine them in complex patterns like birdsong. Pretty amazing, right? I'm just going to let this roll for a moment. All right, hyrax, that's enough of you. Isn't our world amazing? It's filled with amazing creatures. But you know what? Our God who made the world is even more amazing. This psalm, Psalm 104, reflecting on the glory of creation, is more interested in the God who made creation. He's the master of creation who clothes himself in light. He rides on a chariot of clouds. He's served by wind and fire. He's the one who set the earth on its foundations. He spoke limits for the water so that dry ground would appear. He's the one who sends life-giving water to bring life to the earth and its creatures, even the hyrax. He made the moon and the sun to bring order to the lives of lions and humans. The lions come out at night to seek their food from God. And when the sun rises, they lie down in their dens so that people can come out to work. The whole earth, and even the sea, is full of God's wonderful works. Every creature in the world lives and dies by the hand and spirit of the Lord. Creation is truly amazing, but the God who made it all is even better. Vastly better. Unimaginably better. So it's right to sing his praise. The final verses in this psalm show us the psalmist's response. Look at verse 33 with me. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. It's right to meditate, to reflect on God and his creation. It's right to rejoice not only in created things, but also in the God who made them. It's right to sing his praise. And that's what makes the current government guidelines encouraging no singing in church a bit frustrating, doesn't it? Because singing God's praises is something we want to do. It's something we're encouraged to do. In other places, it's something we're commanded to do. Yet at the moment, because of the amount of spittle we spray when we sing, it's wise and loving to not sing even when we begin to gather in person again. But that's okay. We can praise our Creator in many ways, and singing is just one of them. We're praising him now as we meditate on his creation and his word together. We praise him whenever we speak of him to anyone who listens. It's sad not to get to sing together, but we can still praise God, and it is right for us to do it. Creation is amazing. The God who made it is even more amazing. But Psalm 104 ends with one thing that's not amazing. One thing that detracts from God's amazing creation and his glory as creator. Sin. Look at verse 35. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. See, this psalm about the wonder of creation and the greatness of our creator God closes with the recognition that not everyone honors God as he deserves. Creation is amazing, but it's spoiled by the presence of sin. God the Creator deserves to be praised by everyone and everything forever, but sin makes a mess of everything. Come with me in your Bibles over to Romans 8. Sin makes a mess of everything. Sin makes everything groan. Look at verse 19 with me. Romans 8, verse 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Creation groans. It's broken because of sin. It's in bondage. It's decaying. The agony and groaning are equivalent to childbirth. Not because creation turned its back on God, but because we did. God, in his mercy, cursed creation instead of cursing us. And so we live in a sin-warped world. Life is often frustrating. And I think we know that at the moment with particular clarity. This pandemic we're living through is one example of creation thrashing in agony as it endures the presence of sin. We're really aware at the moment of creation groaning. Sin makes creation groan. And sin makes us groan too. Verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Sin makes us groan. Living in a groaning creation makes us groan. We long for release. Our daily struggle with sin makes us groan. Even as the people of Jesus who have the Spirit of God, we're not exempt from that struggle. If anything, we feel the struggle more than most people. For we try to resist, we try to do good, we try to honor God, yet we fail. We seek our own good, our own comfort, our own desires rather than God. There's a massive disconnect, isn't there? We know on the one hand that God has adopted us as his children, yet on the other hand, our present experience is a painful struggle with sin. We live in a sin-warped world and we wrestle with our own sinful desires. And that disconnect makes us groan. When will our spiritual reality become a present reality? We don't know. And so we groan. Creation groans. We groan. And even God the Spirit groans. Look at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Because of the reality of sin, sometimes we find we can't even pray. We don't know what to say. We can't even imagine it. And so in his mercy, God, by his Spirit, prays for us. He groans with us and for us in our sin to make intercession on our behalf. Yet the amazing thing is that we do not have to groan forever. We groan in hope. All through this paragraph of Romans is the hope of the new creation, when sin will be no more and our groaning will cease. Consider verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Although we suffer now, although we constantly feel the effects of living in a sin-ruined world now, although we struggle daily with selfish hearts, our present sufferings are nothing. Nothing compared to the glory that is coming. Yes, we groan, but we groan in the sure and certain hope of glory. Now, what glory? What glory do we groan for? Well, in verse 19, it's the glory of the revealing of the children of God, when those who've put their faith in Jesus will be revealed for all the universe to see. In verse 21, it's freedom from bondage to decay. Now we waste away daily, and the whole world crumbles around us. But one day soon, sickness and old age and death will be no more, and creation will be free from decay. In verse 23, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship. See, God has promised that those who trust in Jesus, he will treat as his very own children. And just as the Father and the Son have existed for all eternity in perfect relationship, so those who trust Jesus will join them for eternity. Just as the Father honors and glorifies Jesus the Son, so he will honor and glorify everyone who puts their faith in Jesus' blood to wash away their sin. Verse 23 also calls this the redemption of our bodies. Jesus' blood buys our bodies. Being adopted as God's children can seem like a spiritual thing, an inward change only that makes no outward difference, or at least none that we can see. But the new creation, it's not inward, it's not ghostly, it's bodily. Our bodies will be redeemed. In the glorious new creation we're groaning for, we'll be real people in real bodies, in a real world, really relating to God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Yet without sin, without decay, without frustration. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So don't despair. Groan on in hope. It's okay to groan now, to groan along with creation when things are frustrating and painful and irritating. It's all right to be sad as we look around and see the chaos that COVID is causing. It's appropriate to be grieved by our own self-focus and the selfish self-focus of others too. It's all right to groan, but groan in hope, the hope of a glorious new creation that is right around the corner. When disease and disasters will be no more, when the conflict within our own hearts will be no more, when sin and rebellion will give way to justice, when all of creation will display the glory of the God who made it, and there'll be nothing that spoils the view. Creation groans now, waiting to share our freedom. We groan now, waiting to be done with sin, waiting to experience our adoption and redemption. God the Spirit groans now, helping us, praying for us, interceding for us in accordance with the will of the Father. Together we groan in hope of the glorious new creation. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father God, creator of heaven and earth, creator of everything that is seen and unseen, we are so saddened by the presence of sin in your glorious world. We're sorry for our contribution and that we don't honor you as you deserve. Thank you for Jesus, for his blood that deals with our sin. Please forgive us. As we live in a groaning world, as we groan while struggling with sin, as the Spirit groans on our behalf, please, Lord, help us to hope in the new creation. And we ask that it would come soon. We ask that you would be glorified by everyone and everything as you deserve to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.